Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. My name is Steve Benson. That's Paul Schultz, and nothing you're about to hear is true.
Thank goodness.
Did you see the eclipse the other day? Did they have one of those up there by you?
Yes, we had the same eclipse you did.
Oh, same one.
Yeah.
Because I know sometimes LaPorte does their, like, 4th of July parade and fireworks like on the 4th of July, and down here,
yeah,
it's like on the weekend, sometimes before the 4th of July. I wasn't sure you guys had your eclipse the same time we had our eclipse.
I think they decided to do them all at once to kind of just get it over with.
I know, but what if you got family, you know? You want to be with your family for the eclipse, but you also want to be in your hometown for the eclipse. It's weird. I don't know why they plan these things. Anyway, they're having another one in about 7 years.
Yeah.
So I heard the next one's supposed to be better. I don't know. They're going to spend more money. I don't know what they're doing to make it better, but...
That's sophomore jinx. Yeah, you never know.
Well, you remember the last one. We talked about this last week, right? In 1979, I got to be careful how I say this. In 1979, they had an eclipse. I love it. Because, see, if I'm not careful, this is how I talk. Right? But there's so much revealed in this manner of talking. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, back in 79, they had an eclipse, didn't they?
Yeah. Yes, they certainly did.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, it wasn't as... They didn't make as big a deal out of it then as they did this time, though. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then I heard they're going to have another one in 7 years. Like, it's been 38 years since the last one, since they had the last one, and now they're going to have another one.
Yeah.
7 years. I don't know. Why don't they plan these things out better?
It's just a little more, you know, routine. Well, my oldest, it was funny because they posted the elementary school that my youngest goes to has a Facebook page, and they posted all the kids out with their, you know, with their goggles on looking at the eclipse. And we found my daughter in the pictures, and my oldest was looking at the pictures, and she goes, "I almost said something really dumb." I'm like, "What's that?" She goes, "They never did stuff like this when I was a kid."
Yeah.
Yes, so, yeah.
Dear, that is dumb.
But then she got back at me, though, because I said something about not being able to figure out why is it if the sun comes up in the east and sets in the west, why is it that, like, Oregon gets to see the eclipse before? Oh, it was like she just pats me on my bald head and walks away. So yeah, a good time was had by all that day.
Yeah. Well, the hysteria surrounding the eclipse. I was thinking, some of the pictures showed the kids out with their 3D glasses on, you know, looking at the eclipse. And I thought there would be other pictures of kids kneeling in the hallway with books over their heads.
Those were, like, the southern states.
It was either, like, the reactions ran the gamut. It was either... Mm-hmm. This is science, and this is great, and we're going to drive 3 hours to experience totality. I mean, how many times did you read the word totality prior to about a week ago compared to now? I mean, I'd never even thought about the word totality, except for when people say in its totality. But now totality is like just this thing, like a proper noun. Anyway, so you got, it ran the gamut from people driving 3 hours away to see the thing with their kids to people being freaked out that I better stay inside or I'm going to go blind to in the middle, which was, I seriously had people in my Facebook feed going like, well, that was overrated. Well, that was hyped up. That wasn't as good as like it was supposed to be. It's like, motherfucker, it's not a thing that the government's putting on for us. It's a thing that happens. Like, it's a natural science. It's science. I mean, you don't, it's like, why did they decide that when it rains, it pours? I don't understand why they decided that. Come on.
The whole that was overrated. It's like, you don't get the whole, you know, size of the universe and all the math that goes into this shit. It's just, it's not something that, like you said, you can't plan this. It just happens. And when you consider how rare it is, just the fact that it happens is cool.
If Jesus Christ himself came down in his flaming chariot, they'd be like, oh, I kind of thought it'd be a rocket ship. I don't know. Kind of thought it'd be more impressive. They'd be in heaven. Streets would be paved with gold, and they'd be like, I don't know, gold's kind of soft. I mean, there's a lot of ruts in the road because of the wheels, you know, going across the gold or carving. Gold's kind of a dumb thing to carve. Gold's a dumb thing to pave roads with. Really, I mean, if you think about it, kind of dumb. Jesus would be like, come on, man, I'm Jesus.
Yeah, no, they're never happy.
You know who's really confused right now? The conservatives are really confused right now, because apparently the Cleveland football Browns decided to kneel during the national anthem, at least the black ones. Not the black national anthems,
yeah.
The black football players.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't even know if there is a black national anthem. That'd be kind of cool. That's probably what they played.
The black national anthem is the theme from Shaft.
Oh, I thought it was. Yeah. I thought it was. Instead of putting your hand over your heart, you just raise your right hand.
That's right. All right.
That's more racist than what we did last week. But anyway, my point is, conservatives are super confused because they saw the picture of these guys kneeling during the national anthem, and they were like, they didn't read the whole headline, but while they're reading the headline, it said, you know, Cleveland Browns players kneel during, and they go, what? How could they? And then it said, and they prayed, and they go, well, how could they possibly? Wait a minute. What were they doing? Praying? Who are they praying to? Allah? No. Jesus? Ooh, baby Jesus? Or like grown up Jesus? Like Jesus on the cross? Like which Jesus were they praying to? Because that matters. Baby Jesus? Anyway, so conservatives were super confused this week because they're like, well, they were praying. I don't know how to feel about that. But as everyone knows, conservatives are very angry when Colin Kaepernick kneels during the national anthem.
Right.
Not all that mad when neo-Nazis like burn like carry Nazi flags and torches in southern United States. So, you know, sometimes they like protesting, sometimes they don't like protesting. They're just like all of us. I can't make up my mind sometimes. Do I want sushi or pepperoni pizza? I don't know. It's, you know, I can't make up my mind sometimes.
It's exactly like that.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
You know what else I was thinking?
Hmm.
I was thinking about the future. Because we had Andy's trailer on last week, and
yeah,
it's way into the future, which I love. I love this thing. Like, science fiction writers who are not necessarily super courageous, they pick like 50 years from now, 60 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Problem with picking, 50 or 60 years from now is your work and possibly you will live long enough to see if you are right.
Yeah.
Like 2001 Space Odyssey.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Clark had that problem with the first two books, so he just jumped ahead with the last two. But he was right for the most part.
I'm picking when I'll be dead. And then, you know, medical technology keeps him alive, and he's like, son of a bitch. How far in the future do I have to go?
He's one of those heads on Futurama, you know, sitting in the jar.
Yeah. But I want to go, I like the time machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want some Bradbury shit where you go like 1,000 years into the future, right? Because, or a million, or however long that was. How long was that?
He went like millions of years. And at the very end, the time traveler went like millions of years into the future. But if you're talking about like with...
to the end of the Earth.
Yeah, right? But if you're talking like with the Eloi and stuff, I'm not sure when that was. But yeah, he went to the end of time, or the end of the Earth, basically.
What I was thinking earlier today... Okay, so if you look at the worlds of Mibar, Mabar. Spelled Mibar, pronounced Mabar, whatever. So he took a stab at like 800 years into the future or more.
Yeah.
Right? And what will that be like? And he went the direction of... advanced technology.
Mm-hmm.
H.G. Wells wrote The Time Machine.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking.
The lighthearted romp through the future that it was.
You know why I get H.G. Wells confused with George Orwell?
Mm-mm.
Because Orson Welles did
the radio
Mars Attacks movie.
Yeah, the right. Radio drama, yeah.
And Orson Welles, H.G. Wells, and then Orwell.
Yeah, that's a well thing.
You could cut out the last 10 minutes. All right, let me get back to what I was saying. So H.G. Wells, you know, projects us 100,000 years into the future, and humans have evolved differently, and it's very dystopian, right? So I was thinking, like, shit we're worried about today, like nuclear war.
Mm-hmm.
Even that is not the end, right?
No.
It's just a new beginning
mm-hmm.
if there's a nuclear war. Because... look at Europe, for example. The fall of the Roman Empire was about 400 CE,
mm-hmm.
right? And then we enter what they call the Dark Ages in Europe.
Yeah.
And Europe doesn't emerge from that until like 1600s.
Mm-hmm.
The Age of Exploration, the Renaissance, all of that goes on. The Enlightenment. Next thing you know, Europe's back, right? But it took like over 1,000 years.
Yeah.
For that to happen.
Right.
Meanwhile, over in China and the Middle East, you know, they're cruising, like doing their thing over there. Mm-hmm. But technology wasn't necessarily, unless you count Attila the Hun and the Mongols and stuff, like there was no contact with Europe.
Yeah.
And it took Europe 1,000 years, but they came back. And so I think about nuclear war, mm-hmm. which would impact the entire world. But within 500 to 1,000, I don't think it would take 1,000 years for civilization to recover from nuclear war. I mean, we'd have the challenge of radioactivity, but we also have the advantage of...
We have the advantage of knowing that something exists over there before it happens. You know, if you're exploring for something, you're going to look a little faster than just exploring. So we know there'd be stuff. They did, you know, the two people didn't know of the other, you know, one didn't know of the other one. So it took them longer to get there.
Right.
But we would have the advantage of knowing that was there.
That's
previously.
Exactly where I was going.
Okay.
There was something to be, there's something to be discovered, like rediscovered.
Mm-hmm.
The Germanic tribes in Central Europe wandering around looking at the aqueducts, they're like, what the hell? No idea what that is. That's even for.
Right.
You know? But here in our current time, I believe, you know, there, enough people would survive and enough books and technology to read the knowledge would survive that we would know what that power plant was for.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It would just be a matter of, well, most of the engineers are dead, so we don't have anybody right now who knows how to work that or to build a new one.
Yeah.
But we can form universities and schools and things.
Right.
So that within a couple of decades, we'll have people that know how to pull it all back together.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I'm not that worried about it. Plus, you know, in every scenario I've ever worked through in my head of the world coming to an end, I'm one of the 5% or so who survived. Like every time I work through it in my head, like I've game theoried it, I've war gamed it, ran tons of scenarios. Every single time, I'm one of the ones that make it.
So, except you can't, you can never survive playing
Empire.
You can imagine yourself surviving a nuclear holocaust, but you can't win an empire.
Oh man!
Speaking of the whole, you know, Clark thing, and the and time, and he got smart and jumped ahead to 3001 with the fourth book, because technology kept kind of passing him up. But I think it's one of those deals where his idea fed the technology or whatever. But in 3001, the astronaut that got stranded out, you know, drifted off out into space, that Hal cut loose, they find him, and he's frozen, and they thaw him out, basically. And he's on Earth, and he's just astounded at all the different technology. And one of the things that Clark did was, there's this ring, man-made ring around the Earth, and you have, like, these, like, umbilical-type elevators that take you up to this whole other world, man-made world that rings around Earth the way like Saturn has rings. And he's just like, that's impossible. How could that be? And his guide was like, well, when you disappeared in 2001, think back 1,000 years prior to that, and where was humanity then, and what had they accomplished? And then what had they accomplished in that 1,000 years leading up to your birth, you know, your birth? Now imagine doing that with the technology we had in 2001, going ahead 1,000 years. And he's like, oh yeah, okay, all right. You know, but he couldn't wrap his quote-unquote primitive mind around it until they explained it to him in, like, perspective.
It's a weird thing, because I love that, by the way. And I'm going to have to go read that book, I think. Because I love the comparisons. And I just, today, I saw somebody had on their whiteboard, like it said, today I learned that the Triceratops was as ancient to the Stegosaurus as the Triceratops is to us. Or maybe the other way around. Anyway, those two dinosaurs that I get confused because they both look like weird hippos, you know? They were like 50 million years apart.
Yeah.
And the one that's more recent is like 50 million years from us. And I love that shit. And I love, like, we think of Cleopatra as ancient.
Mm-hmm.
But Cleopatra looked at the pyramids and had no idea when they were built.
Yeah.
But they were built at least 2,000 years prior to her, maybe 10,000 years prior to her, right?
That is a whole nother podcast, man.
And so you project that into the future, mm-hmm. and you go, okay, 1,000 years from now. Well, think about 1,000 years mm-hmm. ago from now. Was Europe was in the Dark Ages? Like, Rome had fallen 600 yeah. years prior? And, like, you've got, like, the Holy Roman Empire. You've got, like, Islam is relatively young. Mm-hmm. Islam in 1,000 years ago was as young as the United States is right now.
Yeah.
Like, the entire religion.
Yeah.
I don't mean, like, the country of Islam.
Right. Well, consider... Okay, so now consider everything we have in 2017. The technological advances, the medical advances, everything we have right now. Now imagine if that kept going for 1,000 years. Because it kind of like... It builds that momentum. And that's what makes it so fascinating is... You know, we're going to be considered primitive by comparison in 1,000 years, but right now we're holding on to equipment that is just that 1,000 years ago we would have been burned at the stake for, or been considered gods for practically, you know. So what's it going to be?
Here's the key question. There are three ways it can go. One is what you're describing, mm-hmm. which is what I've heard called exponential technological advancement.
That's the word I was looking for.
Right. Which means it's not linear. It's not like every year you gain a year's worth of advanced technology. It's every year you gain 10 years of advancement. Right.
Right. Right.
So that's one way it could go. That's how it's been going for the past 100, 200 years, mm-hmm. right? Or maybe longer. The other way it could go is the way that it's gone, the other extreme, which is more common in history. Since 14th or 15th century, it has been a straight line or maybe exponential mm-hmm. growth in technology.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, it was more like a sine wave. Like,
yeah,
there would be technological advancement and then there would be a plague and we'd go back and then there'd be technological advancement. And then, you know, the Greeks would be defeated by the, you know, complacency, and then that would go down and then you'd get technological advancement and the Romans would be defeated by the Visigoths, and then you would have the Dark Ages, and then you would get advancement. So it'd be like you'd go up for a while, you go down for a while, you go up for a while, you go down for a while. We yeah. live in an age where it hasn't gone down for 500 to 700 years.
Right.
Right. So right. the question is, will it continue for another 1,000 years, or will we have an event or a series of events or a long, slow, slogging event of we'll just lose it and we'll go back 500 years, you know? I don't know. Or will it be somewhere in between?
Probably in between, although I'm not too concerned about plagues because, you know, we typically have vaccinations for that shit. So I think we've, you know, unless a new one comes along that we're not even prepared for, I'm not too much too worried about disease. Do you know what's crazy is like just over 100 years ago, people were dying of the flu. The flu, yes. That thing that we get sure. crabby about and women make fun of guys because, oh, a guy gets the flu and it's the end of the world. It was killing people 100 years ago. So, I'm not too worried about disease.
Millions of people.
Yeah.
So,
well, speaking of Bradbury, though, getting back to your Bradbury faux pas, his almost his whole family was wiped out by that flu. So he was like the only brother out of his mother's children. He was the only one that survived, and she went nuts.
Damn.
I mean,
because he was making that dandelion wine. If you like said, look, you need to write what the world's going to be like in 500 years. Here's, and I thought of this as I was listening to last week's show. And we're talking about the future and the future person having an Asian accent. I thought, here's a pretty, like, if you had to sit down and go come up with something that's likely to be true. Now, I know you can use your imagination and come up with crazy, like, futuristic technology stuff. And I know we can use our imagination to come up with dystopian, like, nuclear holocaust stuff. But if we really wanted to be honest and come up with the boringest likely scenario, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I would come up with.
Okay.
And here's what I was imagining on my drive home today. The dominant culture, the dominant power, the dominant economic power in the world is somewhere in Asia, probably China. Who knows what could happen with China? It could be Japan. It could be Singapore. But anyway, somewhere in that area of the world, right? 500 years from now, the dominant power. The United States and the West, you know, Europe and all them, aren't going to lose their military power. They will still have nuclear weapons. They'll still have lots of their money will be spent on military stuff. So they will still be a powerful military. However, their economies will be not so good. So we will have, and I don't know why this popped in my head, but I was thinking, like, who would you focus on in the novel that you're writing about 500 years from now? And I had this vision of this young couple who got pregnant, weren't ready to have kids. So they go to the adoption agency, and there's this great, well-to-do Chinese couple. And, like, this is an American couple, and they're like, hey, you know what? We're not ready to raise this kid. We want to give this kid the best chance possible of having a better life. We're going to the agency and having a Chinese couple adopt our kid. Right? Because China is where, you know, like, if you really want to make it, you go to China. Now, if you can't make it to China, you try to emigrate to California or Texas, which are separate countries now. And at some point, the United States, in an effort to solve, in air quotes, their Mexican immigration problem, decided that they would let Texas and California deal with it. Texas and California end up seceding. United States doesn't care because they're like, we don't want to deal with it. We still have New Mexico and Arizona. California and Texas go to, like, have some minor war type, like, battles. But the border finally gets settled, and, like, California and Texas are now bordering each other. Arizona and New Mexico are not states of the United States. They're now part of California and Texas. The United States is up here as, like, a third country. And California and Texas are actually doing better than the United States. The United States still has nuclear weapons and a strong military, right? But no longer has a border with Mexico. And Mexico still sucks, because I don't see them doing anything ever. I mean, they're Mexico. I mean, not an idiot. So, what do you think of my vision of the future?
I think it sounds like a pretty good book. When you gonna start writing it? You've already got a market, because the Chinese will eat that shit up. Learn to write in Chinese, man.
I'll send it through Google Translate. All right, so we're gonna take a little break, and when we come back, we're gonna play a new game. I call it Headline, Facebook Post, or Beck Lyric. Welcome back to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I was feeling really bad because last week we didn't do a lot of our normal stuff. And we're really not going to do our normal stuff again this week, I don't think, unless we come up with a way to do it in the next 20 minutes or so. But I did make up a new game to make it up to our listeners. It's a game I like to call Headline Facebook Post or Beck Lyric. And so I've got three phrases. I'm going to read them one at a time. And you, Paul, are going to guess whether it is a headline, Facebook post, or a Beck lyric. All right? You ready?
Okay. I'm pretty sure I got this.
You think you can do this?
Just anybody's Facebook post? Like random people that you... Yeah. Okay, all right. Because I'm going to say, because I've read all yours, yeah. So that's an unfair advantage.
No.
Okay.
No, I just went through my Facebook news feed, and I looked for one that would be, you know, time, like right. Apropos for the times, and could be a Beck lyric, could be a headline, could be a Facebook post. I did the same thing with the other two. So there are all three. So if you get the first two right, you will get the third one right. If this is a game we want to keep playing, maybe I'll do like 10 so that you just don't know. And it's like there could be four Beck lyrics. You know, you won't know. But in this case, there's one of each, right?
Okay.
So your chances get better as the game goes on.
Right.
First, your eclipse picture is probably pretty cool, but it's not this cool. Is that a headline, a Facebook post, or a Beck lyric?
I'm going to say headline.
All right. Well, you know, to make the game more interesting, I'm not going to tell you until we get to the end. So you said that the first one... My pen's not working. Damn pen. You know what? 20 goddamn 17. How come pens... Come on, pen. Come on, pen industry.
Well, you've heard the whole story about the NASA making the pen that can write in zero gravity versus the Russians.
The pencil. Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Yes, I have. All right. So headline. So the first one you're saying is a headline. All right.
Yes.
All right. Next one.
Yes.
You might want to wear a helmet just in case. What was once your face is going to be replaced. Is that a headline, a Facebook post, or a Beck lyric?
That is a Beck lyric.
Okay. All right, last one. Want to win the Powerball? These numbers come up more than others. Headline, Facebook post, or Beck lyric? You've used headline and Beck lyric, so you have Facebook post left, unless you want to second guess
yourself. I'll second guess myself. I'm going to say that's a headline. Can I do that?
All right. So you guessed two headline, one Beck lyric, which guarantees that you get at least one wrong. And we'll find. But it could also mean that you got three wrong. No. All right.
I'm pretty sure I got one right. So
your eclipse picture is probably pretty cool, but it's not this cool. It's a Facebook post,
see,
not a headline. You said headline.
See, I was going at it from like it was one of those like
Fred,
like from like The Onion or somebody like that. One of those kind of headlines. That's why
you thought it was clickbait.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I thought it was clickbait.
That's why I picked it, because I thought it sounded like clickbait. Yeah. So I thought
I ate that cheese.
I was right. And he was referring, you know what eclipse picture he was referring to? It's the one where it's like a NASA one or something, where you can see the International Space Station, like, silhouetted against the sun. Eclipsing the sun. It's so cool. You got to go look at it. It's awesome.
I will.
All right. So the next one was, you might want to wear a helmet just in case. What was once your face is going to be replaced. You said Beck lyric.
Yes. Yes, I did.
From the song, I just started hating some people today. I just started wanting to punch your face. You might want to wear a helmet just in case. What once was your face is going to be replaced. I just started wanting to punch your face. It's a Beck lyric. Of course it is.
I know my nice Beck work. Lyrics.
And the last one, want to win the Powerball? These numbers come up more than others. You said headline. Yes, that's a headline. Nice job, man. You did pretty well. So...
Well,
Rick, how many did Paul get right? Well, Steve, Paul got two right. He got one wrong. So, does he win the money? There is no money, Steve. Yeah, but if there were money, would he have won the money? Had there been money, Paul would have won the money. Nice job, Paul. You won the money. Speaking of Powerball.
You know what we need to do? We need to get Andy Martello to do a audio, like an introduction for that game. Because of his Price is Right. he could just record it for us so we could just put it in the show.
He'd probably also love to come up with, you know, the questions.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hey, my pen's working. Andy Martello.
You must be back in gravity.
I think he would enjoy that.
Yeah.
Andy.
What a time.
For those of you that didn't know about the pen, I just love that story. And I always assume everyone knows it, which is why I sort of glossed over it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But did you want to tell our listeners the story, or would you like me to?
You go right ahead.
Back during the height of the Cold War and the space race between the United States of America and the Soviet Union, technology was everything. Each nation felt that they had the best scientists working on the toughest problems. And it was important to solve every technological problem before the other side did. So the United States, when it came to, if you think about a pen, the ink requires gravity. I mean, if you store a pen upside down with the writing part up, you pick it up and try to write with it, it's hard, right? Because all the ink flowed away from the thing. Well, think about if you're in space trying to write, it's like the pen, there is no gravity in space, right? Or there is gravity, but there's not enough to make a pen work. So NASA spent millions of dollars researching pressurized pen cartridges and to get a way to get a pen to work. And they finally, after much experimentation and many failures.
Keep in mind, the millions that they spent designing this pen was like 1960s millions. So now extrapolate that to 2017. That was a lot of money spent on a pen.
Like, well, in 2017, that's like gazillions.
Yes.
Like the, I believe the exchange rate from 1960s millions to 2017 is like gazillions, right?
Yes.
It's like one gazillion per million. But God bless America, they solved it.
That's right.
Figured it out. The research, the persistence, the scientific wherewithal, that black lady that they wouldn't even let have coffee, but she was really good at math. So Billy Bob Thornton let her have some coffee, told everybody else, all the coffee's black, so stop being racist. So they all figured it out. They got a pen invented. They could write in space. Meanwhile, the Russians, the Soviet Union, used a pencil.
This is one of the best stories ever, because imagine if they would have focused that energy and resources on something a little more worthwhile than a pen that could write in zero gravity. You know what's funny? Nobody ever talks about, everybody always talks about the benefits of space exploration and the space program and how it affects our daily life. You know, everything from Teflon to Tang, for instance. Nobody ever talks.
One of the great advancements of the 20th century.
That's right. I mean, even though, it didn't actually, it wasn't developed by the space program, but everybody thinks it is. But nobody ever talks about the things that we take for granted that was learned with those millions of dollars and countless man hours to develop that zero gravity pen.
Well, Tom Hanks is a national hero. How dare you? So that's space. So the other big topic of the week was the Powerball. Did you buy your Powerball ticket?
No, I don't play the lottery, dude. I'm afraid I'll win big and get struck by lightning.
At the time that we're recording this, we still don't know if anyone won. That'll be an interesting thing to talk about next week. Like, if somebody won, we can talk about who won and all that stuff. But
at the present, is it enough money, though, to buy a space pen?
In $1960? No, it's not up to a gazillion yet. It's not quite to a gazillion.
Okay, all right.
Even in $1960.
I'll be one of those guys that go like, all right, now when it hits a gazillion, then I'll go buy a ticket. Because you always have them people. When it hits a million, then I'll buy a ticket. Because you don't want $500,000.
I was ordering my lunch at the Subway today, and the ladies behind there, they're like, did you get your Powerball ticket yet? And I was like, what's it up to? Is it up to a billion yet? And they're like, no, it ain't a billion yet. It's almost a billion a few years ago. I was like, yeah, if it gets to a billion, I'll buy one. Like, other than that, it's not quite worth it. They're like, what? It'd be worth it to me if it was like a few hundred thousand. I could pay off everything I owe and I could buy. I was like, ugh.
Yeah, your lawn guy could buy a new motorcycle. He still won't get his teeth fixed, though.
Right? It's up to 700 million. I'm sure it's more than that by now because they base it on how many tickets are sold.
Yeah.
The chances of winning are one, like right now, because it gets different the more tickets are sold mm-hmm. and stuff. But anyway, the odds of winning are 1 in 292 million. All right.
Never tell me the odds.
So never tell me the odds. So they always talk about getting struck by lightning.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This year, your chances of, and this year is almost over, 1 in 1 million. Chances of being struck by lightning in your lifetime, 1 in 13,000. Compared to 1 in 290 million. Getting struck by a local meteorite. So this isn't like a global, like Earth-ending meteorite, but like a meteorite like hitting you in the head.
It's not like a macro meteorite. It's like a local meteorite, you know. It's
right, a local one. Right.
All
think
right.
Think global, act local. 1 in 1.6 million. Chances of being killed by a shark, 1 in 3.7 million. And I know that you rarely go near an ocean.
I'm pretty sure I got that one taken care of.
Making 3 consecutive holes in one on a golf course, 1 in 156 million. Wow, I didn't think it would be that high. Anyway, so people tell me when I like try to tell them about the odds, mm-hmm. they go, well, yeah, but if you don't play, you can't win. And I'm like, really? All right, so you play, right? They're like, yeah, I play, because if you don't play, you can't win. I'm like, so your odds of winning are 1 in 292 million. Yeah, but I buy 3 tickets. All right. So your odds are 1 in 100 million. All right. My odds are only slightly lower than your odds. First of all, they might go, that's not true, because your odds are 0, and that's like the difference between 1 in 100 million and 0 is infinity. Right. And I'll go, ah, there's your fatal flaw. My odds are not 0. There is a chance that I'll be walking along tomorrow and there'll be the winning ticket like laying on the ground on my way to my car. Right. And I'll pick it up and it'll be the winning ticket. They'll go, well, I mean, come on, what are the odds? And I'm like, well, probably not 1 in 100 million. I mean, probably not 1 in 200 million. I mean, the odds are not that much worse. I mean, because it's multiplicative. You go, the odds of, if you buy a ticket, your odds are 1 in 300 million. So times the odds of the winning ticket landing in my yard, which is, I mean, if my odds of getting like hit by lightning or hit by a meteorite or 1 in 1.6 million, the odds of the winning ticket landing in my yard are probably not that much worse than 1 in 50 or 100 million.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
So it's, you know, I could still win. You don't have to play to win. Plus, I happen to know, I have it on good authority, that members of my family and my wife's extended family play. And if they win $700 million, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be doing okay.
Yeah, I think you've got it covered.
My wife's aunt is like, what makes you think I'm going to give you some of the money I win when I play? I go, no, I don't assume you're going to give me any money. When you look at your beautiful nieces, are you really going to make them struggle a pauper's life? Or are you going to make sure they're doing okay? And by doing okay, I mean living in a super nice house, going on European vacations, and whatever else people do with money. Whatever people with money do, their parents are going to need to be there with them, right? Mm-hmm. So that's my view of the lottery.
I think you have a plan.
So I think the title for this week's show is probably going to be The Future and Other Super Improbable Events. I've been reading rereading the trilogy, Hitchhiker's trilogy, so The Heart of Gold, you know.
Yeah.
And like anything that it's sort of like we used to play Dungeons and Dragons. It's like, well, how could you do that thing that's not even in the rule book and is super like never could possibly happen? And you go, find a magic user, wish it to happen. Oh, okay. It's like the get out of jail free card.
Yeah.
Like the Heart of Gold is like anything you want. You want the Heart of Gold chip itself to be in Zaphod Beeblebrox's pocket? Just all you need to know is the exact how improbable that would be. Feed it into the computer.
Yeah.
This bores me. Is anyone up for a game of basketball?
All right, I'm done. I'm done. You do the rest of the show.
Oh, okay.
I've blown my wad.
Well, it only took you an hour to blow your wad. No.
That's what she said.
That having been said, I think we're at the end of another one. So luckily for you, you know, you during your refractory period, you can sign off.
Give me a cigarette.
That's right.
Remember in the movies, you always smoked a cigarette during your refractory period. For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson. Head on over to don'tpanicradioshow.com. Don't you forget. Nothing you just heard. Was true.
I think you're gonna need some fluids.